It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of BGN Radio is brought to you by Clip It, the hottest app that is out there. Watch TV, make clips, and share. For more information, check them out at clipit.tv or check them on Twitter at clipit.tv.
You're listening to BGN Radio.
Creo que es la decisión correcta. De 48 yardas, Sturges, distancia, dirección. Sí, señor. Sí, señor. Sí, señor. Caleb Sturges conecta.
What's going on, Bleeding Green Nation? How about a little bit of a victory show, just as I called, I want to remind you, which obviously didn't happen, but we will accept it as episode number 203 of BGNRadio.com. We are recording live from Sports Radio 94 WIP, as we like to do right after home games, and it felt like 9 years since I had been back at the link today. It is John Barchard, Mr. Adam Herrmann. And of course, James Elser all joining us. Adam, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling pretty good. That was an enjoyable game. That was like one of those things where you watch it and then afterwards you're like, okay, everything's all right. Everything's fine.
Hey, the season is relevant again,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
James?
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. We have something to actually care about, which is a lot more fun than stuff not to care about. It was one of those frustrating games though, where the entire time you just feel like it's a Julio Jones 85-yard touchdown away from losing, which is just like the entire game, your heart is in your chest, and then finally when Sturges hits that field goal at the end, you're like, all right, I think we're good, and they ended up being good, John.
So, yeah, well, yeah, of course it ended up being the Taylor Gabriel show due to Lourdes McKelvin, which was
Gabriel, I believe.
Oh, was it Gabriel?
No, I don't know.
How little we know about this guy.
Which was great, too.
Kevin Burkhardt gave it Taylor Gabriel! That's good.
Touchdown!
yes! Stop him again!
I wish that we had the audio from McKelvin, because as I was explaining to the guys, there was a huge scrum because he was one of the first guys that was out of the locker room. And McKelvin sounds like Boomhauer from, what was that show again? King of the Hill. Hear him describe that of some, and I forget the exact quote is somewhere out there, but it was like, somebody asked him, what were you thinking on that play? He's like, I was thinking, I'm gonna go dang in there and go find me give me a play. And then I was thinking, oh shit. Like, it was just kind of, it's so awesome. And that's one of the, I mean, there was definitely a makeup for that towards the end of the game, right, although the game is pretty much iced at this point, but it's a great feeling. 5-4 sounds a lot better than 4-5. The Eagles are in the hunt. And hey, how about this? The Eagles have home field advantages now. They are a home team. The narrative holds, everybody. So that's what we're going to stick with. But Adam, how is it that this defense, and we saw this pretty much all game, the secondary looked smooth. Everybody knew their assignments. There was no panic. Benny Logan coming back here was definitely another thing. Fletcher Cox was beneficial from that. How do you think this defense played overall? How do you explain the home field? They look great and they can beat really high powerful offenses when they want to.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about that as you left the stadium. I don't really understand it, because there's only so much a home field advantage does for you. Like, obviously the crowd's great, but, and getting Benny Logan back is very great. That was, I feel like, was a huge key today. But you're playing against the Steelers, who have this incredible passing game, the Falcons, who have this incredible passing game, and your secondary is your biggest weakness. Like, your corners are bad. And you're shorter, you're even shorter today than you were when you played the Steelers on corners, because Ron Brooks, Terrence Brooks are all gone. Everybody's gone. I just don't get it. I really don't get it. There must be something about playing at home that's, like, comforting. There's no travel. I don't have any answers, but I don't want to question it, because there are four more home games left, and they should keep on doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I think what you really have to take out of today, especially after the last 2 weeks of you know, what did we call it, a Peterson-ism on the WIP on show on Saturday, I think you have to give a lot of credit to Doug Peterson for today. I mean, he called a heck of a game. He did a terrific job of slowing it down, keeping Atlanta's offense off the field. Went to Ryan Matthews. Yeah. No one saw that coming, saw some holes. I really a lot of credit to the coaching staff as a whole for the game plan as much as anything, but the in-game play calls as well were really, I thought it was a nice bounce back showing from Doug Peterson after a tough couple weeks.
And I think especially the way the game started, I mean, the first drive, and especially coaches love to script their first drives, and it was clear that he had just laid each one of those plays out. You know, all the 8 of the 12 plays were runs. They all worked. Then the first run was a 2-yard gain. So yeah, you could see a coach maybe, you know, he's had a bad couple of weeks. He kind of panics after that first one isn't great and being like, all right, you know what? Let's throw it. He came back with another run. So it set him up with a 3rd and 4. I mean, he called a smart game today, and he was confident in Matthews, which no one else was, but apparently he was right about that. And no, I agree. The game plan was just, it was perfect.
Yeah, it's crazy. You have a 7-minute drive to open up the game after forcing the Falcons to like a 5 and out, which was like, oh, okay, this is pretty good. And to that, I mean, James, you and I were talking about that on Saturday forever. That was the whole theme of the show is, I understand the criticisms of Doug. They are valid in some regards, and I understand that. But back the fuck off.
Yep.
Like, really, just
give the dude a shot.
Let him develop and go through here. And you started to see that wane a little bit where, you know, and it was so hilarious that this game looked like it was coming down to field goals and Caleb Sturgis misses and everybody's like, oh, of course you should have gone for it here. Like, yeah. Dude, it's the same stuff that we talk about with coaches here in Philadelphia, wherever it is. There's not enough blame on players. And honestly, we'll get to the good stuff in a little bit here. Someone get Nelson Agholor on a Greyhound bus, take him back to Southern California, drop him off at Jefferson Boulevard or whatever it is down there, and drop him off.
No.
I'm done with it.
John, you're being way too fucking nice. No Greyhound bus. Make that asshole walk to fucking California.
I don't want him to take 6 months. All right?
I don't care. 4 days. As long as he's out of this city, I don't care. I mean, I've had it up to here. People who are listening can't see how high, as high as my
almost
arm,
the ceiling.
Yeah, I'm
almost
too short to reach the ceiling, but if I were taller, would go taller. That's how much I've had it up to with Nelson, as 95% of the sports radio callers would say, Agholor.
Yeah.
All right?
With a U and
he's not even saying his name right anymore. That's how pissed off I am.
And nobody, that's what I'm saying. We went from numbers, and I don't, really, you don't have to say it. No. It's fine. He's going to be traded next year for something, you know, the seventh conditional seventh rounder.
Chase
or something
Daniels
like that.
Is going to last longer than Nelson Agholor here.
Oh, that's boy. Daniels with an S, as we like to say here. But and the reason why I bring that up is, again, there is. Let me just. I mean, Jordan Matthews had a pretty good day, and
first
obviously
half. Yeah,
pretty good first half.
Well, he did.
The big drop that was there.
Well, and he was 7 for 75 in the first half. Five for 75 in the first half. And I think he ended up like 6 for 83 or something. So it's not like he had a great. He had a big first half. That drop was a bad drop.
That was
though.
A killer drop. And obviously, he would have caught the ball if he hadn't literally been decapitated on one play. That was
yes.
going to be a big gain or two. But,
yes.
Yeah. But
my God. Seriously.
We'll get into.
We get into. Because like that. Upset me whether if that had been the other way around, I would have. Yeah. I mean, that is what you are there for, to protect these guys when they're. We'll get into it, but I mean, with all the CT and the concussions and all the bad stuff, like to not call that was in my mind, it was like a fireable offense.
Well,
like,
no, let's get into
that. Was
really
outrageous.
We'll get into it right now because the thing that he said about that right after the game is my face mask was bent in and it was no longer usable. I had to get it replaced.
He should have been ejected. It was more surprising not that they didn't call a penalty, but that he wasn't ejected the other way. Like, that's how bad it was. In college, that guy is out immediately. Like,
yeah, from targeting.
It was targeting.
Exactly.
Like, it was, and I don't know if you guys got to see it. You guys were in the stadium.
Oh, we saw the replay,
Okay,
too.
I saw the replay over and over and over again on television.
Clear.
It was it was up, going up, helmet right to helmet. It was about as blatant as it gets.
And even if you miss it in real time, and I know you can't review penalties, but there are like three things there. You know, there's the defenseless receiver, which the ball was out of his hands at that point. There was the leading with the crown of the head, which or the helmet, which is what he did, even if he hit him in the chest.
Yeah, there's no other way he could have led going up at that angle.
So there were three chances for you to get it right there, and you called none of them.
It was outrageous.
This is just not a
hard thing to do. After the missed call before that. It was back-to-back awful. And the announcers, Burkhardt and Lynch, like, skewered him. They were like, this is outrageous. This is bad officiating.
It was terrible.
Yeah, and I wonder if there comes a point, it's just like, because we're screaming for, like, put the flags away, and then there's stuff like this, that there's no balance between the things, and you still can't find the Yeti. And the back-to-back stuff, I mean, obviously, they didn't punch it in there either. There's a makeup call towards the end where they settle for the field goal and whatever, but yeah, I just think that it is, if the NCAA can review those targeting things, like, if you
can't understand why you can't review that.
What's not going to feel like it's popular is that the NFL really needs to allow you to review literally everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Judgment calls, because it already happens. There's already a few judgment, you know, reviewable things, too, whether it's a fumble, whether it's not a fumble.
Yes.
That's a judgmental thing.
Already.
Yeah, yeah. Incomplete, not
complete. Yes, a catch. Then, how about what a catch is? Yes. Is there anything more judgment and no, like, defined definition of what it is than what a freaking catch is?
And there was the example
again,
that was the Sproles thing.
You couldn't believe
exactly.
In the moment. You could watch that play full speed, slow, whatever, and you're like, that's not a fucking catch. Like, he never had the ball. It was so blatant, and they call it on the field, and you're like, well, that's just going to get overturned. Like,
Was that on the same drive, too, by the way? Was that on the exact same drive?
I think it was before, but I'm not 100% sure.
You're right.
That was earlier, yeah.
And so, you know, you have all those things, like, working against you. That's why I say, again, just to wrap that back up, is, look, you know, Darren Sproles was targeted 10 times today.
Yeah.
Equal parts with Jordan Matthews there. And just like you're saying, still, you know, 10 targets and then 6 for 73 for Jordan Matthews, which is, listen, 12.2 yards per reception. That's great. It looks okay.
Sure.
But I'm just saying there's nothing that's there. There's nothing for Carson Wentz to do in this passing game. We were screaming like, hey, it's Atlanta. Their pass defense is terrible. Jalen Collins, awful. Throw against them. You still can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not coaching. That's just like you can't. You can't.
Yeah. Your guys are not getting open, and guys aren't making catches when they do.
We're saying Bryce Dreggs. We're saying all those other different things, and they fooled us. I mean, like, not fooled us. They just said, you know what? We have to run the football, and if we can't get it going against this Atlanta defense, then we don't deserve to win. 135 yards between everybody that was in there. Smallwood getting carries,
looking really good, man. Yeah. Here's the thing I like about Smallwood is he just runs it forward. Like, you know,
he just goes.
He's not like pussyfooting around. He's not like trying to get, like, he sees a hole and he hits it. It is really refreshing to watch that guy run. And you know what? For all the maligning and deserved maligning that happened here, shout out to Ryan Matthews. Do you play ball today?
Man, it's just fun. All of us are happy in that room, man. I couldn't stop smiling watching Ryan run so good and breaking the big ones and Sproles looking good. So, and me and Kenyon back there doing kickoff returns, so the whole room was just happy. And we felt as though it was time for our room to step up and be the players we are.
And they both, that's what I'm saying, they're both at over 5 yards a carry here. What is interesting about this, Adam, is Doug Peterson comes out this week and says, Darren Sproles is my number one running back going forward, and he gets 2 carries today.
Good coaching.
They even introduced him as the starting running back on the individual player intros before the game. They were like, yep, he's our guy. Don't worry about it. Then Ryan Matthews got like 5 carries on the opening drive, which is more than he had last week. And
Misdirection, baby. Maybe Peterson
saw something in practice, and maybe he said those things about Sproles on purpose because Carson was talking about it. Everyone was talking about it. Matthews ran angry today.
Yeah, he did.
Which looked like
old Matthews.
Yeah, it looked like exactly. Like, when he's been good, that's what he looks like. And he is a talented guy. It's usually been the injuries that's held him back, not the poor play as much. It's been the poor play this season. But he looked like Ryan Matthews at his best today, hitting the hole hard, running with ferocity. Like,
he looked faster than he had
fast.
All season.
Yeah, he just looked better. He hung on to the football, took some big hits, hung on. It was a really nice performance to see from Matthews.
And that 2-point conversion, that was a tough one.
That was
really tough.
The second effort, yeah, he looked all game.
How about really Smallwood good. Though? Before the leading to that essential, you know, game clinching field goal. How about that one where, you know, that was a 2-3 yard loss and he found a way to kind of squirm his way for 3 yards that were big. I mean, that's the difference between a 53-yarder and a 48-yarder. You know, with Sturgis struggling, I'll bet you Doug doesn't even go for it if they, you know, go for the field goal at that point. The way it seemed, you know, I think he might have gone for it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, would have been close. And so, I think, a big play.
And I think that there's the only thing that's really going to hold him back from carries right now, as you saw a couple of times there, not a great blocker yet.
Right,
yeah. And that's going to take
little.
Time,
and he's little. Little.
And so it's really hard to kind of do that and have him coming in and be a third down back or whatever it is that he's going to eventually be there. But
and didn't catch his one target today.
But yeah, yeah. But seriously, and which is funny too, because we all expected him to be.
That's why
the hands, and he's really, really come around with the running game, and maybe that was there all along, and that's just some of the stuff that we missed, and that's why we're not in the war room at draft time. But yeah, it's.
There are
it was
many reasons I'm not in the war room.
Also, you know,
I have no idea why I'm not in the war room. It's outrageous at this point.
I'm going to say it looks like Zach Ertz is finally getting into the fold a little bit there. He had mentioned today, too, that it's just it takes a little time. And I think the Carson Wentz in tight ends thing might have been true just based on what he had said.
So almost 15 catches the past 2 weeks. I mean, that's right on pace where you want to be as a tight end. It's a step in the right direction, but we're not satisfied. I thought I could have maybe had a few more plays. I know he's kind of seeing the same thing. We're growing together. We didn't really have a training camp to run routes together, get comfortable with together. I mean, he's still learning how I run routes, how I see the game, and vice versa. And it's only going to continue to improve. He's a very smart kid. I think I have a high football IQ as well, so we see the game the same way, and it's just building that comfort level. It's all about chemistry in this league between a quarterback and a wide receiver, tight end, and we're finally starting to click, and I think it's going to be exciting for the future of this offense.
There was some time missing there where obviously his relationship between him and Sam Bradford were quite strong. They were working together all offseason.
Sure.
I'm going to say all this, and then when they go to Seattle, he's going to be non-existent. But for the time being here, this is something that they need to rely on and something to do. They went heavy doses of Sproles. They went heavy doses of Ertz there. And I love the fact that he still went five wide and did all that stuff. He stayed in 11 personnel. And every time that Sproles would move back and forth into motion, there would be that stack right behind Ertz where he would stand. And you knew it was going to be an out. You knew it was going to be a dig. And it worked every single time. Every single time they could not stop that.
Yeah, I liked the way they used Ertz on those. And I liked the way they just put him over the middle because he's a big body.
Steelers. As we would very much like a Cowboys loss to go along with this podcast.
Yeah, very nice. Dallas.
I liked about Ertz was it's especially if you go back and look at those like big games he had against Washington the last couple years. They would like to just run him in the middle, have him turn around like 6 yards downfield, and no one could really get around him. Like, he's a big frame. He boxes people out and he catches the ball, and we know he doesn't do anything after he catches it, but who cares? 6 yards is 6 yards. You just keep using him like that. He's a big body. Get him the ball on someone who's not as big as him. It's really, really easy. And I think you saw them starting to realize, oh, it is pretty easy. Let's just get him the ball sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, obviously we've had the usage debate for a long time here, but I think you're going to have him in the wide receiving core. You have to have him somewhere, so... You know, if you can get in a rhythm with Ryan Matthews and Smallwood in the backfield and even Kenyon Barner, I just need to take a time out here. You cannot let an NFL kicker shove you out of bounds. You lower your head. I mean, make him pay doing that. Was it Bosher? Bosher.
Bosher
or Bryant or whatever his name is.
Bosher. Matt Bosher.
Who on the second return came up gimpy as soon as he kicked the football. Like, come on, man. I think those are probably touchdowns that you let go.
He was all right, though, Kenyon.
Pretty good. But even with him running as well, like, that's where I think I like the combinations of Matthew Smallwood, Barner, and you let Sproles be the rest of your passing game. Because then again, like, especially how they have emotion, I know it's going to be different for a lot of different defenses that they're going to face, but especially against Seattle, there is literally no wide receiver that is going to make a catch next week. Yeah. It's not going to happen. Give the ball to Sproles and make him a wide receiver. Challenge that linebacker.
I will say, and Seattle obviously, as we're recording this, is not played yet and gotten smoked by the Patriots. Hopefully I don't sound like an idiot when I say
it's going to happen.
But for what it's worth, FWIW, the Seattle defense has been bad against the pass over the last month and a half, like as in like five worst in the league bad. So
I'll take it.
You know, look, these receivers are not good against anybody, but I don't think that Legion of Boom or Seattle defense is anything close to what it's been in the past. So I wouldn't put it past this offense to be able to put up some numbers.
No, and just kind of depending on what I don't know. You have a still have
they've
a little
really
more faith
bad
in them.
Shockingly bad the last month and a half.
I know, but
just
telling
so,
you.
So just saying. I mean, Buffalo, Tyrod Taylor, you know, and Buffalo put up points on him.
That's true.
So did, you know, the Jets put up points on him. You know, I'm just saying it has not been a very good defense comparatively. I'm saying we go in with this idea the Seattle defense is the Legion of Boom and this, you know, best D in the league. They're not that this season, at least not so far. It's not the same type of fear going into that game, at least in my mind, defensively.
Yeah, and this is where, I don't know, and just a quick side note. Today, would you rather be going to London? Let's just say it's there. I know it wouldn't work out with the schedule exactly, but would you rather be going to London to face whoever, I guess the Rams?
I guess.
Yeah. Or would you prefer Seattle on the road right now? I think I'd take my chances with the Rams in London, to be honest.
Yeah,
but it's not the same type of thing, but I agree. It's not the same type of thing, though. It's not like when that schedule came out and you're like, that's a loss in Seattle. I don't know if it's a loss.
I don't think it's a loss, but I think it's less.
I wouldn't bet on, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a winnable game is the point. It's not an automatic loss.
Which with this team, I think every game from here on out is a winnable game, which before this season, I did not feel that way.
Every game has been, really. Other than that Washington game, they've all been winnable.
Is that every game is a winnable game from here on
out. Did I see correctly that the Titans put up 40-plus points
47,
on the Packers?
47, I believe. Yeah, they beat the crap out of the Packers.
So that's, I mean, I think...
Packers aren't good.
I would say that this is, not that they're the last good team that they're going to face, other than Dallas again when they come home. I really don't see anything in between the schedule there where it's just like... Oh my goodness! You have to. Yeah. I mean, I know.
Well,
there's...
none of them are. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's
so
really
they're
the
all
division.
Winnable. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're all winnable. No question. The division games might be the toughest ones when you look at them. But I think Cincinnati at home. I mean, them at home is a tougher matchup than the schedule might say. Now, like looking at Cincinnati, they've lost to some good teams. But yeah, man, you look at the schedule. I mean, they can win every single game they have the rest of the season. Yeah, yep. They obviously won't, but they're in all of them heading in. I mean, they're going to be
favored. How do you know that, bro? Don't be a hater.
Yeah.
God.
Dude, they could go 12-4, you jerk.
I think someone mentioned 12-4 in one of their press conferences today. I think it was Brandon Graham, and I was just standing there. I was like, oh, that's not going to
But seriously, they'll be favored at home against Green Bay, and they should be.
They're better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that I don't know what's happening there. And you start to look at the landscape of the rest of the NFL. We're talking about here. Vikings have a huge slide now, so there's
four straight.
There's a division battle with the Lions, who are off this week. They're both 5-4. The rest of the division
Lions
is
are
crap.
In first place because they beat the Vikings. Yeah,
correct.
Lions.
So you're just looking
at the
best team in that division.
Jim Caldwell goes from literal first coach fired to division leader in 5 weeks. Who saw that coming? Good for you, Jim.
Yeah, it's amazing. So,
but yeah, he's showing a lot of excitement and animation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like a mannequin challenge. That's where you start to look at the rest of, even if they're not going to win the division, which is going to be incredibly hard now. They have to beat basically everybody and hope that something happens on the backside. But I'm still liking the theory that 9 wins will get you in the playoffs this year. I don't think that there's going to be a huge resurgence from Minnesota. I don't think there's going to be a huge resurgence from, I don't know, random X or anybody that's in the NFC West that's going to kind of peek out there.
I think it's going to be two teams from the NFC East. I just don't know which two it's going to be. I mean, two wild cards. I just don't know which two. I think it could be any of the – I mean, they're all going to be 2 games over .500 if the Giants can pull it off. I mean, right now, Washington's 2 games over with that tie. You know, the Eagles are game over. The Giants have a chance to go 2 games over with a winnable game tomorrow night. So I think there's a real, real legitimate possibility we're looking at the, you know, 2 wild cards from the NFCs. That'd be crazy.
And this is why I don't want, this is why we, when we have those debates about expectations and things like this, Adam, it comes down to this game for me again, because God damn it. Like, why can't you do this
every week
more consistently? That's right. All I'm asking. It's not that it's, oh, you know, it's, oh, this is terrible. This isn't working. And that's the thing too. And Rodney McLeod kind of had the same thing. I think Jimmy was asking him, you know, you see these, you went up against Pittsburgh when you were the number, when they were the number one offense in the NFL. You went up against Atlanta, they were in the number one, and you made them look like shit. Why can't you do that against teams? Why does team like Washington run over you?
I mean, it goes back to what I said. You know, these guys just locking in, playing fundamentally and technique sound, man. If you look at those games that we won versus, you know, these top tier, you know, teams or offenses, you would say, it's guys, 11 people just doing their job and doing whatever their role is, you know, with excellence. And you look at the Redskins game and you see guys trying to do too much, guys not, you know, tackling well, guys not taking right angles. And it just goes back to technique. So, it's everything that we're doing. It was everything we were doing wrong in those games to put us in that situation.
So why what is the thing that has to fit that together? Is it just simply experience? Is it getting these things together? Do you think now that, I mean, obviously after you win, everybody's going to feel a little more optimistic, but is it things like this that kind of come at the right time and go, okay, we can do this thing. Now let's go steal one on the road. Now we know we can kind of go and do this.
I think this is definitely one of those where, you know, some people think momentum is fake. I think there's something to it. I think, especially with a win over a team who, I think it was Jordan Matthews said, you know, a lot of people, and, you know, they like to say this, but a lot of people thought they were going to lose this game because the Falcons came in, what, 6-2, and they had a crazy good offense. 6-3 now. 6-2.
They're 6-4 now. Okay. They were 6-3.
They're a good team. And I think what I also think, though, it's big. I mean, last week's game is completely different. If Wentz doesn't throw those picks, right? That's a huge. I mean, how many points
all did these games? They could have won all these games.
14 points. Yeah, that's a 14 point
that's
win.
Why they gave up so many points. I mean, it's not the only reason. Sure, you'd like to stop them after those picks. But giving teams short fields and repeated opportunities, that's going to hurt your defense. Today, Wentz hung on to the ball, except for that one where he couldn't fall on it for some reason. But they played more mistake-free ball. And when your offense just doesn't make mistakes and your defense has a chance to do its thing in the normal field, this is a very good defense. And I think when they have a chance to put a full game together, that's when they, you know, can do what they can do.
And I know it's kind of a simple thing there, but if the offense doesn't make mistakes from here on out, I mean, do you think that they end up with 10 wins?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
look,
I mean, it's just, is that all it is? It's just limiting those turnovers, because even if the defense is struggling at one point, there is always a chunk of time where I feel like the Eagles are in control of the game, and then the turnovers.
Well, except for the Washington game, like that's the outlier. When you look at that game,
that game is weird.
They didn't deserve to win that game at any point. They got outplayed. The defense got significantly outplayed in that game. And granted, Benny got hurt, and you know that's kind of what you point to and you hope.
That's
and
what
it looks
say,
like
yeah.
that when Benny is on the field, right. It is a different defense. But you know, I certainly think that with execution and with the struggles in the secondary. Look, this is still a very thin secondary, at least from a cornerback perspective. So, you know, I think that that's the way they lose. That I don't think you could just say if they don't turn the ball over, are they, you know, can they win every time? Theoretically, yes, but there's going to be those games where the secondary gives it up, or, you know, even if they don't turn over the ball. So it can they get to 10 wins? Absolutely. I think they can go, you know, 5-2 over the end. I wouldn't bet on it, but sure. I think 9-7 is kind of right in that wheelhouse right now.
Yeah, and you know, they're, what is it, the last three are at home?
Yeah.
The last four are at home, something like
well,
that?
No, because they got the last three against the division. Whenever that Baltimore game is, that's on the road.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
Yeah, so but
that's
still the last four.
Yeah, and that's still just a trip like right down the pike. Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a hike. So, I mean, really, once you get past that Cincinnati game, you're looking at 3 of 4 at home with the one away game being in Baltimore. That's a nice way to end it out.
Yeah, so therein lies again, steal one on the road anywhere, and you're in the playoffs, essentially, because I'm banking on hard that you're going to beat one of these teams at home, and it's just going to be a different environment. Like, again, if you put the Dallas game at home,
Giants game at home is probably a win, for sure.
So you start thinking of all these things, and this is why we can say, see, I'm not even looking at the back of my television. No cursing of tone or whatever. I think Dallas scored a touchdown today.
I think it's just going to be one of those heartbreaking Dan Bailey kicks it and they win by two kind of thing. things is what it's looking like right now.
But these are these games where you look at, okay, they're not as they're not a 4-4 team. Their DVOA is saying so. Each week there's there the point differential, all those things that we keep pumping out and saying, it's true because these things start to happen like that. And I can't believe that, again, this number astounds me, 2-for-11 on third down for the Falcons, 18% of the time.
With Julio Jones on your team, I mean, geez Louise.
And you look at Julio's final line, I what are the exact numbers?
It was like 8-for-120 or something, somewhere in that region. Maybe
by the way, I don't have to eat a tweet, so thank you very much.
Yeah, he had good numbers, but it was like they were almost quietly
It was a very quiet.
He had a couple big gains where it was just incredible throws.
It was, yeah.
He was more of a volume guy today, which is good because you can keep volume guys at bay.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we said. We said, listen, Julio's going to get his, and it's you kept happen. Him out of the end zone, which was nice. You kept him away from a big play, and you said everyone else beat us, and
giving
they
it
didn't.
To whatever Gabriel was a poor decision, but other Gabriel. Than that, they really kept him. They kept the Falcons' passing game in check, even though Julio got like 135 or whatever.
Yeah, no, right on the dot, 10-for-135, and the other thing about that is too is just like, you know, Devontae Freeman. Some of those things where he's about to break open and do whatever. The
tackling was very sure today,
which is exactly right. Everybody was exactly to the ball. There was no real big breaks or missed tackles. And if there were, Devontae Freeman would have scored at least once, you know, and there's those elements that were there. But I just can't believe they barely got to, well, I got to the red zone once, right? Did they get to the red zone once?
Yeah.
Yeah, so why, yeah.
The one time.
Yeah, the one time.
But Malcolm Jenkins was, what a game today. I mean, in the slot.
I think we can say that every week.
You can, but like but he no, really yes, was like, extra, yeah. extra special today.
He was very good.
You could notice Benny being back. It was fun to watch the defense play today, especially considering the competition. And it really did come back to the top. I mean, it was the most fundamentally sound performance we've seen from this defense.
Have I said pay Benny Logan yet? Yeah. Pay Benny Logan.
Just a few so
times.
Much
money. Don't even think twice about it. This is
pay Benny Logan.
Take Connor Barwin's money and give it all to Benny plus more.
Well, yeah, and then Peters, that. Whatever yeah. they were just drop it in there Benny. And have those two guys. This is hey, where
thanks,
you see
Connor.
Starting
Bye.
Cox to get more effective.
Bye.
I hope people understand that
exactly.
Cox was more effective today because of Benny Logan.
Very clear.
There was only one time that I saw him that was on skates. We won't get into that because he made some other great plays today. But Benny Logan is a very disruptive on the very first snap.
Yep.
Didn't go for a tackle, didn't go for a loss, but Benny Logan completely ripped apart his man, went against him, and that's what creates success to make those teams kind of one-dimensional. Stop underrating him. He's like a fantastic defensive tackle in this league.
Mother effer.
And you put those two next to each other, they are just...
I hate Ezekiel Elliott so much.
He just scored a touchdown, and the Dallas Cowboys are now going to go up 30-24
they're
here.
They're going to be 8-1. What the fuck is that, man?
Well, they're... Yeah, that's
but
what
seriously,
happens.
Like, what, I know, but
Ezekiel
like,
Elliott is a very good football player.
I know, really man. It's just, it really
also
is.
An asshole, but a really good football
yeah,
player.
It's
so.
Just very frustrating.
Which
I hate
goes,
them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did they find him in the 7th round? Was he an undrafted free agent? Was he in the 6th? Was he in the 5th? No, he's a good football player.
John, it's fine.
Stop telling people round. Where to draft certain guys and everything. If you're a good player, you're a good player.
True.
Okay?
Leonard Fournette.
Ooh, Leonard
which could
Fournette.
Be next. Which, again. And
you
there was
a pie for that one.
So, was,
oh wait, hold on though. Speaking of which, John, are you finally on my side now? Is it Sammy? Suck it
oh,
up
no,
now.
Keep 5-11. I need
yes!
Sammy 5-11.
Thank
now.
You. Finally.
No,
100%.
That was four
my
losses
call.
In
you
a row.
You were Sammy Super Bowl. I said from the beginning, root for the first round pick.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
That's
no, 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 no. My theory was it came out and they were 5-0. So I was like, all right,
go.
No,
you're
I
at the
know.
Breaking.
I know
you're
why
at
you
the breaking point now. Let's send him to the Super Bowl.
I'm just saying
Let's
it's exciting to
together.
Have you on my side now.
But now I am 5-11 Sammy.
5-11.
Yeah.
Top 10 pick.
And there was some.
Let's do this, baby. Let's do this.
How amazing would that be that you
That's
end up with a better
saying.
Pick than what you would have yeah, been to finish out the end of the
imagine?
Year for Sam Bradford?
That'd be Hinky-esque, man. That'd be some Hinky, Howie Hinky move.
That is very Sacramento Kings-like for Minnesota. Which
purple?
Again, I still don't fault him for, but I had to reap the benefits of everything that's going on there.
If that works out, I mean, that's especially Woo! How excited are people going to be about the draft in the city?
Oh, yeah, and it's here, too.
Man,
oh, man.
This is
really
exciting, you guys.
And I won't say who, but in the locker room, because people wanted to know the score of that football game, there were some players that said, God damn it, Sammy, get it together. Like yeah, it was that
it's
kind
Washington.
Of thing.
Yeah. Come on.
Because you could feel like some of that. It's like, man, there's still that kind of connection that's going on there. But at the same time, guys, it'll get you a really good football player to help
believe
your team.
And, so I mean, it's okay. Look, and today we would have preferred the win over Washington rather
absolutely.
Than the
sure.
spot. But you take what you get.
And it just amazes me that, man, oh, man, because the Falcons are definitely not overrated on offense. 100%. And that's the same thing that, you know, you kind of got into with Minnesota when you saw them with the defense. Yeah, their offense has been terrible, and you can't even get there. You can't take away. You can't take that away from this Eagles defense. You just can't. Sorry. No. And this football team.
Yeah,
I know that the Eagles, or excuse me, the Falcons defense is Swiss cheese.
Sure.
And granted, but it was just from pretty much start to finish. I know there were some hiccups in there. There were some arguments at halftime about Doug Peterson and his performance, which this is just to go back to that for a second. The game plan and keeping Atlanta's offense off the field was the point.
It's smart.
Not to go down there and start
it's
scoring
smart,
points
what I'll say.
And just doing all that. There was what? There was four possessions in the first half?
Yep. Yeah.
Four offensive possessions.
And then they
were
come out
to
begin the second
minutes.
Half
yeah.
and a long-ass field goal drive. It was just consistent throughout the whole game, and it was clearly the purpose. Ryan Matthews, all the stuff we hadn't seen. I don't know how you couldn't be not just happy but Adam impressed with what Doug did today.
And Doug said it afterwards. Like he was up front. He said, yeah, that was the plan. We wanted to keep them off the field, which when you're playing Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, you can't ask for a smarter decision. And he said he trusted his guys, and clearly he saw something in Ryan Matthews that he hadn't seen in the last couple weeks. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with what Doug did today. I think it was perfect. I think it was a great idea.
Yeah, because you know the argument was, well, they should have more points. It's just like, man, unless you wanted to score them four times, that the half was over in an hour.
That is
incredibly fast.
And you don't go against statistically the best offense in football. I think the Pats are the best, but statistically the best offense in football, and say, all right, let's get into a shootout, boys. No, you
well, that was my idea.
Us too,
and that's why I'm not
what?
Coaching.
Exactly, and that's I thought so too. I'm like, all right, got to score a lot of points, beat these guys. No, you know what? Find a way to not let them score so many points, and Doug did that, and it was impressive.
I forget where I wrote it. I don't remember. The internet is a morass, but I wrote that if the Eagles lost this game, it would be in a shootout, and if they won this game, it would be low scoring. And
I don't believe you until you
end,
produce
low
this,
scoring.
This piece of internet.
If you're going to beat the Falcons,
just
you can't
come on
let
here
them
and you start
score,
lying.
Because
and
they're going to keep scoring.
Yeah, he said,
once
he
they
said
start.
It's on the internet, but you won't be able to find it, was what no. he just said. All right, yeah. Cool. Thanks, yeah. Adam.
The internet's inaccessible now. But that's how you win a game against a high scoring team. You don't let them start scoring, they're not going to stop.
Exactly. And guess what? It kept going down almost each quarter here. So Atlanta's only on the field for 5 minutes in the first. Their largest came in the second quarter, which is where they scored their two field goals. I think it was 7-6 at that point or whatever. So that's 8 minutes.
Yeah, it was 7-6 though at the end of the first half, right?
Yeah, they had 3 minutes in the third and 4 minutes in the fourth. And yes,
that is awesome.
Time of possession mattered in this one.
It did. It
38
really did.
Minutes to 21 minutes. That's how you beat an offensive team that
is
terrible
at defense. Your D was fresh. Your D was fresh. The Atlanta's D, which was not good to begin with, gets tired. It really is one of those things where, in a specific situation, it was massive today.
Yeah, and what do you got here?
I found it. It was in the question and answer with the Falcons website.
Ah,
on
the
SB
Falcoholics.
Nation, the Falcoholic, good stuff. I said, I think the Falcons win this one in a shootout. Let's say 35-30. I do think it will be close, and I think if the Eagles win, the score will be much closer to 2017.
All I heard was, I think the Falcons win in a shootout. I
am not smart, but I said part of what
that.
I said was smart.
Dual hedging bets all over the place.
I
think either the Falcons or the Eagles will win this game. Go, baby, go! Jesse James! This game is not over.
What? See, like, James loves to root for things while it's going on. Like, I don't know. I don't know what my point was. It throws me off because I'm like, what are we?
It's
my
a
back
terrible
is to
job.
The television.
Yeah,
I'm just like,
it's really because your back's to television. But
thanks, Mike.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown!
There's life. There's life. There's life. You're as a, So Pittsburgh has now taken a lead, and it is Mr. Antonio Brown posing beautifully.
He's not Turk. He's like, I'm not going to Turk. Don't worry, I won't Turk.
31-29. Wow. So we got to keep this podcast going until the end of this game, because we might loot against the Cowboys. Wow. Hey, they might lose, and it might be fun.
This is good. All right, well, Broadway there. That was fun.
Well, in that case, let's
just bullshit for a few minutes.
let's hand out some game balls then today.
That.
You can give as many as you want, but who's your first couple of game balls?
Well, we already said Doug P. I mean, that's my first game ball goes to Doug, and I would have given him the anti game ball last time, but he deserves it. But to step past that, I'm giving one to Carson Wentz, man. Sorry, Adam.
Adam with vigor, almost walking out of the studio.
Look, I mean, mine.
And it should. It's deserved. He played an incredibly smart game, and he didn't get touchdowns, whatever. But he didn't make mistakes, and we saw that Giants game, and he made those mistakes, and that's part of the biggest reason why they lost. He came out and played incredibly smart football. I don't even think there was a ball he put in. Oh, gosh.
Stop him. Finish your thought. Good Lord.
Sorry. I don't think there was, that was a terrible job by me. I don't think there was a spot where he put a ball in real jeopardy today, was there? I mean, I don't remember a single that was close. Like, he made incredibly smart decisions. Took what the defense gave him, and just looked really, really poised and smart. And look, he took him from behind a little bit there, right? 15-13, maybe kind of a little bit of that narrative getting. Yeah,
he let him on a comeback win.
So I'll take.
You saw it, Philadelphia.
I'll take what I can get, but I thought he played just a terrific game.
And if those 2 second half passes to Jordan Matthews are complete, the drop and the big hit. His completion percentage today is 75%.
That's pretty incredible.
They should have been completed. So.
How many pass attempts did he have today?
36.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's the right number.
I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah,
he had a great game.
So, how many air yards did he have?
Not enough. That's
okay.
The answer.
Jim Schwartz gets a humongous, it's 12 game balls for me. I mean, it's just, it's on and off with this thing. And I can't figure out when it's all just going to come together and it's going to be like that. Consistently, it's the thing that we all have said since OTAs, where this defense really has a chance to be special, and with the right coordinator and everybody else that's going in here, it's games like this that still make me believe in that. And when you have the defensive line going on all cylinders, Brandon Graham, my other game ball today, who has just been a consistent monster day in
every,
and day
every
out,
single game.
He allows Connor Barwin to go in there and clean up the mess and be hero. And these guys are. I don't know. They're awesome. When it's humming, it's just so fun.
It's fun to watch.
To watch these guys disrupt and get off their spots and everything else here. I think I got two more to give.
Adam, go ahead. I stole his and he is not yet. So now you can steal mine. I'm sure one of my two you'll take here.
I hope so. I was just going to give one to Benny Logan because you look at the box score, right? He had 0 tackles today, according to the box score, which. Whoa, not that much of an impact, but you go look at the actual game, he was huge. He frees up Fletcher Cox to get penetration. Who frees up Brandon Graham to get that sack on Matt Ryan? And you look at the way the whole defensive line came together. I mean, Matt Ryan was 30, he had 18 of 33 today. That is not a Matt Ryan-esque line. He didn't even hit 300 yards, threw that pick in the end, only one touchdown. And that's a lot to do with the defensive line, and especially Benny Logan coming back. That's huge.
A great call, great under-the-radar call. We should just rename Benny Logan under-the-radar Logan or whatever. But I'm going to give one obvious and one kind of not so obvious. Ryan Matthews, I think, very clearly
huge
deserves a game ball today. Really just played terrific and hung on to the football. Yes, sir. Well done. But I'll kind of take that second level literally and figuratively here and give the O-line and especially Jason Kelce a game ball. That was the best game Jason Kelce has played all season long. Got to the second level, was really just a strong game. And it was a good matchup for him, but he took advantage of the matchup. And especially with how bad he's looked a lot of times this season, I was really impressed today.
Yeah, Jason Kelce, man, I can't believe we've gone this long and not talked about that. And you're right. Again, it's Atlanta. It's their front four is not great. Well, their second level isn't that great either. So, but at the same time, it's refreshing to see. And Big V and the guys were out there. I won't call it a game ball. We can't do game ball. So maybe wet farts. I'm gonna give a couple.
Yes, I like that.
I'm gonna give my first obvious wet fart is to Nelson Agholor.
Can we give as many wet farts as like a deluge of wet farts on Nelson Aguilar?
That's a really good word for wet.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
It just popped into my head. I was like, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
That's perfect.
And I'll say, and DGB just non-existent today.
What were the snaps? Do you guys have the numbers? Because I'm not going to lie, I didn't notice him on the field. Watching on TV, I didn't notice him on the field today.
They give us
a
snap count?
I think they should be there.
I don't know if they did or didn't, but
they usually do at the end. But I mean,
I don't remember. He might have been on the field. I'm just saying, I don't remember. That's how invisible he was.
Yeah, and I know he
which
didn't.
Which I'm
have
okay with, I guess. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Zero targets. They didn't look his way once. They didn't throw his way once.
I have no problem with that.
Was again, and on that part where it's 99 yards or whatever, or 99 yards. They're on the two, and the Ryan Matthews play that doesn't work. I start to look it down in the field, and I'm like, they've got DGB one-on-one. The safety is shading the other way. What else do you have to do to throw to this guy? And I'm not saying that's on Doug, and that's definitely not on Wentz, and that's definitely not anybody else. When you – his sole purpose is what we said in the preseason. Oh, he could just use him as a red zone target. is
John, stop imitating me, Daniel. Yeah,
is not even there. Like, how is that not an idea when you're going – you know what? Not even running up the middle for Ryan Matthews. Mm-hmm. It's to the outside. And you're just like, well, couldn't you boot or something? I mean, it's literally one-on-one, and he's 5 inches taller than the CB.
I know.
Yeah. Who's bad, by the way.
Yeah.
What is the deal?
It's just he's an afterthought. He's not valuable. And defense, like you said, the safety was shading away. That's because he's not good. And so we've hit the point where he is not good. Like, Bryce Tregg should have more snaps than him. Just
then either one
out.
Of those guys.
Paul Turner should have more snaps than DGB.
And
I don't even like Paul
it's
Turner.
It's an argument, but maybe.
Saying, like, DGB.
But honestly,
DGB
I
has,
even
that's what I mean.
It.
DGB has no business being on a football field. I'm sorry. Like, he is just not good. What more do we need to see from that guy?
Not much.
Yeah. No, he's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, they lost that trade.
Yep.
That's so weird to say.
I'd rather have Dennis Kelly. I would.
Yeah.
I'd rather
lost have that trade. Yeah. Unfortunately, it was one to take. They don't lose anything.
Worth a shot.
It was the right move.
Yeah.
But he's bad.
Yeah.
And
honestly,
he's
never going to be good. He's not going to be good ever.
I'm not right a lot, but let me just say this, that I was right on that from the beginning when everybody's trying to freaking just shove that into being, I'm the one. He's the guy. He's the number one wide receiver. Now, there is a little bit of a... I mean, James just took off his headphones. Adam's scratching his back because, for some reason, we don't have audio. The Steelers just gave up a personal foul call.
Face mask.
Gosh. So, okay.
What's the near field goal?
Well, I'm sure you will get the replay on ESPN if you didn't see this.
I mean, it was a face mask. It's the right call.
So,
and
they're only down one, so
Dan
they're just
Bailey.
Looking to get...
They're in range now because of the penalty.
15
like
seconds
Dan
left.
Bailey.
But,
we're like, oh, yeah, no, they're in range. Yeah,
yeah they're in Dan Bailey range, so maybe we'll just, okay, I'll give a little play-by-play here. Dak Prescott hands off to Zeke Elliott, who runs to the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown! Cowboys! And we don't get to celebrate at the end of the podcast because I blame everybody in this room. So, James, give me your final random thoughts here.
Fuck Dallas! Fuck those fucking assholes! That is my final thought. Also, nice win today.
I like it.
Nice win today.
Two-tone.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. Adam?
I think I'm going to give a 7 games left, lucky number 7 prediction. I think they're going to win 10 games this year. I think they're going to steal did we decide there was a steal in there?
Either Baltimore,
Cincinnati, one of those.
Or Seattle.
Maybe
steal next week.
Cincinnati doesn't scare me very much right now. I think they're going to win 10 games, and that is going to be fun. And it's because of how they played today. It's because they looked good and not bad.
They look good and not bad. Yeah, I want to give my final thoughts in just a second, but again, a very big thank you to Clip It, the hottest app that is out there. I don't know what you're doing if you don't have this on your phone already. Vine is going away. I know you're enjoying the last few moments of this thing, but it's done. It's kapoof. It sucks anyway. Vine sucks. Vine's crashing. Vine's, which, by the way, why isn't the NBA or somebody snatching that app?
No brainer.
But Clip It is where it's at. Not only because of that, I mean, JoJo's in town, man. There's a superstar. You got the Flyers that are rocking and rolling here. And the reason I bring that up is because Clip It has CSN Philly for everybody that is in Philadelphia. So to enhance your blog post, to share all those things on Twitter, Facebook, wherever it is Clip It clipit.tv. You can go there at Clipit TV. It's in the App Store, on Google Play. Fuck Ezekiel Elliott, and that's how it kind of goes out. But seriously, there it's one of the best apps that is out there. You should feel good today, Philadelphia. You should feel good about this and how it amps everybody up moving forward. The fan base, everybody desperately needed this, and I can't believe that they held the Falcons to 15 points. It's mind-blowing. The fact that it was just a blown coverage for the touchdown, which is, I know it's part of the game and it counts and on the scoreboard, but honestly, it's probably even better than the 15 points that they showed you. They were smooth. No one was scared of this football team, which was a great thing to see, and you hope that kind of carries on with Benny being back and, you know, they'll try and figure those things out with McKelvin and Jalen, and the rotating coverage, I think, is where this team wins when Jenkins and McLeod are both on. I don't think you need to worry about that as much. It can get covered up. It can do all those things. It was a fantastic win today. Celebrate this, be happy, and get ready for Seattle. Random thought. I didn't get this out on Saturday.
I was wondering if you were going to get this in because...
So, I've been sick this past week. I'm not feeling great about myself. I'm overweight. I understand that. I've been totally found out I had asthma this week. So I always try and like work out a little bit. I'm trying to like trim it down. And I take the bus from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia every single week. I'm going back and forth and back and forth. And the only two things that are open are Burger King, which, by the way, their breakfast's fucking terrible. Or Starbucks. So and it's just kind of, one or the other, depending on the line. I usually just end up in Burger King. I eat half of their croissant, throw it away, and just like, how do people eat this shit? And then move on from there. So I'm like, you know what? No, today I'm going to be healthy. I want a cup of coffee, and I see they have a cup of grapes. I'm like, that's perfect. It sounds delicious. I'm in. I set the cup of grapes down. I say I want, a Vente, whatever, the Pike Roast that's there. This is great. Let's rock and roll. They'll be like, okay, that's $14. And I was like, whoa, what? And I said, excuse me? And she goes, I was like, how much are these grapes? They're like, oh, $8.50 or something like that for a literal 9-ounce cup or 10-ounce cup of grapes. I'm like, holy shit. You know how many grapes I can buy at the grocery store? For $10?
A lot.
Can we have all a conversation about...
I buy a lot of grapes.
Do you have to be rich to be healthy? Is that the deal going now?
Yes.
That is a serious...
Yes.
Fuck Whole Foods and
that's
fuck everybody else.
That's organic.
It's not even organic. It just said red grapes. Nothing about organic. Nothing about...
Farm to table, John. That's what they call it. Well, yeah.
Put the pesticides right up on top of there and charge me $4 something. Holy cow. Because... Yes. That's incredible. So that's it. I'm just saying, can we have a conversation about maybe lowering the prices of healthy foods? Well, that's going to do it for BGN Radio number 203. I'm John Bartard for Adam Harriman, for, of course, Mr. James Seltzer. We will catch you next time right here on BleedingGreenNation.com and BGNRadio.com.
Fuck Dallas.
Hold me.